Sunday, the 11th of February, 1973, the hand of the Lord touched me. But last night, I knew without a doubt there's a God. Even though I can't see him with my eye, I saw great evidence of a great designer and an awesome God. If you haven't done the Glowworm boat trip, plan to do it next year. Because man, does it demonstrate what an awesome God we have. Great, let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for your majesty and for your creation. We also want to thank you, Lord, for the cross, as we just sung about. For all that you did for us there, to set us free from our sins, and to give us a home in heaven for all eternity. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray that as we open your word, that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One dark night during the war, two battleships came upon each other. Their long guns began to pound each other. Great damage was inflicted upon both ships. Many sailors were wounded. And when the morning light finally came to the sad amazement of both crews, they both were flying the English flag. Our most famous decorated soldier alive today, Willie Apiata, got his Victoria Cross not for charging and capturing great numbers of enemies, not for winning great victories, but for his bravery to go and get a wounded comrade under a great hail of gunfire and bring him back to safety. Some of the greatest war stories that I've watched and enjoyed, and there's been some in very recent years, are ones about the bravery and the heroism of people that are rescuing their wounded soldiers. And I trust that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be known as people who shoot our wounded, but that we be known as people with great charity, go to great lengths to rescue our wounded. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'd like us to read verses 8 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13. Let's read it together. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. For myself, and I know as some of you have shared with me too, one of the greatest discoveries from this passage is to understand this word charity. To understand, yes, it's translated from the Greek word, which means agape, and that agape is not a divine love, it's not a self-sacrificing love, but that word very simply means love. But it's as we see love or charity demonstrated and displayed, we begin to understand it a whole lot better, don't we? And so this word charity, which comes from the Latin word caritas, means Christian love. The love that I, as a Christian, show to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we can hold on to that thought and take the demonstration and display of love that we see in this passage and put it into practice in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what's going to be the result? All men will know that we are his disciples. And I certainly hope as you leave camp today that that would be your prayer and your desire. This passage covers a number of topics, and because we're looking at the subject of charity, there's a number of things there that we're not going to cover in relation to the end of the sign gifts and that sort of thing. So we're not going to spend time on that because we're focusing on the issue of charity, the love that I show as a Christian to my fellow Christians. So I'd like to begin by looking at firstly here in verse 8 where it says, charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. In the second to last book of the Bible, Jude, in verse 22, it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I want to say to you as we end this camp, that if you practice charity with your brothers and sisters in Christ, it makes a difference. It does work. The Word of God says it. Charity never faileth. You might have tried all sorts of other methods and ways of doing things, but the Bible says charity never faileth. It never faileth. It does work. It does make a difference. After all, when you consider that God is love, you find that in the love chapter, 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, Brad, for that one. God is love. How could love fail? God is love. And we think about this morning, we've talked about the value of love, we've talked about the virtue of love, and this morning we're talking about the victory of love, the permanence of love. Charity never faileth. The second thought I'd like us to look at is we find it down in the verse 13. It says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. I want you to see that charity abides. The previous verses we see that there's all sorts of things that are going to pass away. There's all sorts of things that are going to pass away within the church and outside of the church. Things are changing all the time. There's some things that are temporary and never last. There's some things that come, there's some things that go. But it says that charity abides. And that word abides means it stays. It's permanent. And that's a great thing to know. This charity that we're encouraged to share with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's permanent. It abides, it stays. You look in verse 11, and it talks about children and about grown-ups. And one of the things that stands out about children is that children live for the temporary. You know, as a child, and when I was a child, you weren't too concerned about what your career was going to be and who you were going to marry and how you were going to bring up your children. Those sort of things just weren't in your mind. It was just all about what am I going to do now and how am I going to have fun and what toys am I going to play with and I hope mum's going to put food on the table at the next meal. It's very temporary things. And that's what children are about. It's about temporary things. But adults should be living for the permanent. But the sad thing that stands out in the book of 1 Corinthians is basically Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you're still childish. You're still living for the temporary. Your focus is on things that are going to pass away, and you actually need to bring your thoughts and your focus on that which is permanent. And what he's telling us here that is permanent is charity. Instead of in the church focusing on tongues which are going to cease, instead of focusing upon prophecies which are going to pass away, instead of focusing on these other things, he says, bring your focus on charity, because charity abides. It stays. It's permanent. And folks, in church, it's time we grow up. And that we start focusing on that which abides, that which stays, that which is permanent. And as we said earlier, that which actually does work and does make a difference. And we sometimes need to stop for a moment and stop living like children. And that's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were still playing with their toys. They needed to stop playing with their toys. It was time to grow up. It was time for the growing and maturing process to begin. And that's why he talked to the Corinthians and said, you know, Mitch, you're still carnal. There's no growth here. He said, I'd like to give you deeper and better things for you to understand, but you're still a child. You're still wanting the Cheerios with milk. You're not ready for the bacon and eggs. Oh, no, that's a good illustration. I'm not suggesting we need that for breakfast, okay? But that was the problem. They weren't grown up. And the message to us this morning is, we need to grow up and stop concentrating on things that are temporary, and let's get a hold of those things that are permanent, that abide and stay. And what Paul's presenting to us here is charity abides. Charity never fails. Love is permanent, and not only that, but what love produces will be permanent as well. If you turn with me over a few pages to the right to Philippians chapter 1, and notice with me verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A couple of sessions back we reminded you that when we think about charity, when we think about showing Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that is not something that's natural to us, it's not something we can work out inside ourselves, but it's something that the Holy Spirit produces as a fruit in our life. It's something that the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in our hearts. And the promise here is that the work that the Holy Spirit began the day that we got saved, he will continue to perform every day until we reach the shores of heaven. Love is permanent and its results are permanent. And God's going to continue that work. Verse 13 of chapter 2 goes on to say, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want to say to you, don't leave camp and go back to your churches and go back to your situations and say, I'm going to do my very best to show love to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because it won't last. But if you go back to your churches and you go back to your situations and say, Almighty God, I need you to produce the fruit of love in my life. I need you to shed abroad your love in my heart so that I can share that with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When God does that work in you, he promises that he will perform it until the very end. It's God working in you that's going to enable you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ with charity, as we've been talking about. So we've seen two things so far. Charity never fails. It does make a difference. We've seen, secondly, that charity abides. It's permanent. It's permanent. And what it produces is permanent. And then thirdly, I want you to see, and it's also in verse 13 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. The last part of the verse says, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. Which of these is he talking about? Well, the three things he mentions: faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. See, the thing is that when we get to heaven, faith is no longer needed. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith won't be needed in heaven because faith becomes sight. There's no need for faith anymore. Hope. Hope is not needed in eternity either. What is hope? Hope is that confident expectation in the promises of God. But when we get to heaven, hope is realized. What we were confidently expecting according to God's promises, now they're a reality. And so faith and hope right now are great things. But when we get to heaven, faith becomes sight. Hope becomes reality. Charity, that continues on. We get to heaven in the very presence of God, and God is love. We get to heaven, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, there's going to be perfect love for all eternity. And on the basis of that, the Apostle Paul is saying is, not only does charity never fail, not only is charity permanent and it's going to abide forever, but charity is actually greater than faith is finite. There's a time when it's going to come to an end because we're going to see. Hope is finite because there comes a time when all those confident expectations and God's promises are going to be a reality. But charity is going to go on for all eternity. The greatest of these is charity. And that's where the victory is. That's where the victory is. Faith, hope, and charity go together. right now as we live this life. But actually, it's charity that energizes our faith and hope within the body of Christ. I love what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13, verse 1. It says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Faith and hope will end when we reach the shores of heaven. And I'm not making the illusion that we're crossing the Jordan River to get to heaven, okay? I thought about that song we were singing too. If you weren't at Misconceptions, you've got no idea what we're talking about. But that's okay. But think about that. Jesus, having loved you, he's going to love you then. See, when we get to heaven, God's love doesn't end. God is love. Every time we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see the marks in his hands and his feet and the spear mark in his side. Evidence of his love for us. And in heaven, we're going to spend all eternity loving each other with a perfect love, because charity never fails. Charity is permanent, and charity is the greatest of all this. Now, Paul's encouraging us to abound and to be fervent in charity. If you turn back a page or two to just 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice with me verse 10. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Charity. The Christian love that I display and demonstrate to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Go back to the middle of your Bibles, the book of Psalms, in Psalm 133. Psalm 133. In verse 1 it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, when we looked at the context of the book of 1 Corinthians, and we saw the division, and we saw the cliques, and we saw all the things that were going on, how people were treated each other, the contrast to that is charity. The contrast to that is Psalm 133, verse 1, is how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when you look at the example of the church in early Jerusalem there in the book of Acts, a term that's used over and over again, especially in the first five or six chapters, it says that they were in one accord. That didn't mean that the whole church crammed into a Honda. It says that they were in one accord. And that idea of one accord means they had one mind. They had one passion. They had the same desire. They were of one persuasion. They had the same purpose. And a strong thing that comes through in that idea of one accord is that they did it with unanimous consent. Every single person put their hand up and said, I'm buying into this. And when we think about charity, about the Christian love that I as a Christian show to my brothers and sisters in Christ, as churches we can be in one accord when we all buy into it. When we say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going back to my church. I'm going back to my situation. And with God's grace and God working within me, I'm going to show charity. What's the result going to be? Jesus said it, John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You know what it's going to do? It's going to change your families. You know what it's going to do? It's going to change your workplaces. It's going to change the places you go to school. It's going to change your community. It's going to change your city. By this shall all men know. That's your parents. That's your children. By this shall all men know, those people you work with, they're going to know, hey, there's something different about those people that they're over by the Baptist Church. Look at the way that they love each other. Look at the way that they support each other when someone's down or hurt or wounded. Look at the way they treat one another there. There's something different about that place. What a difference, because charity makes a difference.
stop shooting the wounded, and I'm going to actually be known for my bravery and heroism in going in there to rescue the wounded.
Augustine was a Christian many, many years ago, and he said this: in essentials have unity. In non-essentials have liberty. In all things have charity. I'll run that past you again and we'll close. In essentials have unity. In non-essentials have liberty. In all things have charity. Heavenly Father,